Hold on to your butts.
Why do you want to listen to the TV with the stereo on?
Because I like to party.
You know, what you need is some of that hysterical perspective. You know what I mean?
You don't tell your pappy how to cut the electorate. We ain't one at a time in here. We're mass communicating.
Oh, yeah. That's a powerful new force.
Mm-hmm. Take your leg, Junior.
But when I say his name, everyone knows. Carolina Chuck.
You're good. I just saw you freezing. It was always Chuck.
Okay. That is strange. I'll keep us busy for a few minutes. So you guys have this event coming up this weekend. You are the special guest. I know Charlie's told me a little bit about his involvement in the past, but how often would you say you get to do something like this in the boxing world? Just engage with the community, sit down and enjoy, commentate. How often does this happen?
Yeah, we try to do it really all the time. Stay involved with the amateur programs. That's what I have a nonprofit, Christie's Champs. Mm-hmm. We put computers in hometown boxing gyms. Anything we can do to help, like, those kids that are in the gyms are usually the kids coming from, like, the wrong side of the tracks. You know, there's something going on at your house or you're not going to end up in a boxing gym. So we feel like that's a great connection with domestic violence awareness and amateur boxing. So that we really, really try to
as much engagement as possible.
We're out there with the, you know, with the boxers themselves, with the families, with the fans, whomever, anywhere we get a chance to talk about domestic violence, you know, we're trying to bring that and make it to where people are a little more comfortable about talking about it. Sure. So, you know, and with that, you know, like I said, we put the computers in the gyms and sometimes the gym needs equipment. Christie's Champs tries to help out with the, with that, throw in some money for equipment and things like that.
I know I have a very big passion for broken things myself. Those that might be looked at as troublemakers and whatnot. I mean, I was a terrible student. I didn't listen to them. I mean, I was not the ideal person, but I've been given a lot of blessings and in my personal life, especially following the military. And it's, you know, I like to interact with as many kids as I can. Like, look, man, you don't have to have the best behaviors. You don't have to have the best grades. You can still go in for 2 years and come out on a level playing field as somebody that did. And I do think that it's something I really enjoy, I guess, about living in the time that we do. It's a rewarding thing.
Absolutely. I remember, like, one of the biggest things, one of the coaches called after a student, well, a boxer student, mm-hmm. Had completed his application for college on a computer that we had bought and put in the amateur boxing gym.
Sure.
And we just think everybody has a computer. I mean, we have our phone with the computer, all access. I carry around a laptop with me wherever I am. And then, of course, we, you know, have a desktop at home. Those are the things that we just take for granted. We think Everybody has that kind of access. Everybody doesn't.
They don't.
So to put those computers in the boxing gyms, because those, again, those are usually the kids from low-income homes. There's sure. some terrible stuff going on at many people's homes that end up in a boxing gym, and they're looking for somebody to give them an opportunity. They're looking for love. They're looking for encouragement. They're looking for somebody to just, hey, give me not a handout, but a hand up. And that's what we want to do.
Well, and you know, I really like that you said something a minute ago, and that's to help them become comfortable talking about this, addressing it, like really realizing the situation and that it's overcomable. You know, my dad is 84 years old. He was a Vietnam veteran, and he never talked about any of his trauma. It was a societal, you know, you didn't do that. And it's so sad that so many people kind of live like that still when, you know, there's somebody willing to give that hand up, you know, and it may not be who you expect. It may be the person you think is like dogging you right now. But I think Charlie's going to come sit by me here in a second is what's going to end up happening, because I'm still in his thunder. And I got to get this guy over here. I have no boxing experience at whatsoever. I was in the military for 5 years, and we did the Modern Army Combatives program. I love, you know, I did Funikoshi Karate as a kid. I love combat sports. I know around the time you are, I guess, really popping off, I associate that time period with like the pride fighting, Don Fry, and, you know, just my childhood. Those fights were so fun. And it's changed. Obviously, it's changed a ton. It's developed. The sports have all developed a lot. The fans have. It's a different animal. You, though, when I was watching this documentary, I got a really big kick out of how you got into boxing in the first place. Somebody told you to do it. You lost a bet or something, right? And you wound up just in a ring for the first time?
Well, yeah, I just, you know what? I don't even know why, but I thought trying this amateur, not amateur, it's a tough man contest.
Sure.
That it was just a great idea. I have no idea why I thought that, but I did. And
yeah.
And it, I just loved it. I mean, it was just, it, to me, it was the biggest high that I've ever had from, you know, any drug.
That duck meets water moment.
It was great. Being in the crowd. And I like doing something that everybody said I couldn't do.
Crap, dude, look at this shit go here.
I loved my job, you know. I wanted to fight. I wanted to fight bell to bell. I wanted to meet the fans on their feet. And, you know, I tried to knock everybody out.
Yeah, sure. That's it. That was freaking, I mean. So the first time you fought in a tough man and you knocked that girl out, the like, was it the first round?
I can't remember. Yeah, I did go knock out this big girl.
Yeah, holy crap. That's where I started. The first time I got in the ring, it was a tough man, and I was the kid in school that was like scared to sing and stuff and be on the stage. And I came out, you know, I could fight a little bit, I knew I could, and I came out and I was so freaking nervous. One of the Panthers players was sitting in the front row. And I was like, I was just locked up, nervous. The guy came across me. He's boxing me really well. And he hit me a couple times. And I ended up kind of throwing him into the ropes. The ref's like, you can't grab me.
Right.
I was like, oh, yeah, my bad. And then something just kind of clicked. And I hit him one time. And 23-second knockout. He hit the ropes and collapsed. And that was it. And that cured my freaking anxiety.
Sure.
Right.
I didn't see feeling.
Too much. I mean, I was, you know, I'm no Christy Martin for sure.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude, your whole story. We watched the documentary. Like, Pat sent me a bunch of stuff on you, and I've heard about you, but I didn't know all that happened. I mean, good God, you were shot.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I, you know, got it over and over. Sometimes I say, why? You know, why? Why me? Why did? I get to go. Here I am. I made a deal with God in the hospital that, hey, if you live through this, I'll help other people. So no one ever has to go through what I went through. And I felt like, look, if I could just help one person through the rest of my life, then I'll be successful. But then the effort of me came into play, and I'm like, No, I want to help one person every day. And that's why it's important for me to be with you guys. Because, you know, the more people that hear us talk, the more people we're going to help.
Well, and, you know, it's not just sports. Like, one thing that I really kind of resonate with what you're talking about is survivor's guilt is a very real thing. And I know I look at a lot of my community, and we still can't let go of things that are years old. But you have to keep putting your foot forward. And, you know, I think for a lot of us, we feel that kind of need to do the same thing. I just think a lot of us don't know how. They don't know how to help that, you know, their next man. But I do love seeing the success you've had with all of this. And, you know, what a person to be doing it.
And you got a freaking movie coming out? I mean, like, your whole life was an incredible story and deserves to be a movie. I mean, but it's not over. I mean, obviously, it's just the beginning, but holy crap. I mean,
hopefully, we'll start working on part two. Sydney Sweeney is going to play me in major motion pictures. It's already finished. They're editing right now. I mean, Sydney Sweeney, come on.
Yeah, she is the babe.
15-year-old daughter was excited about
that. Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Everybody seems to know who Sydney Sweeney is, and she's really cool. She busted her butt to go to the gym and learn. She had actually done MMA.
See, I didn't know that, but I did see some of the clips of her sparring, and it was really impressive. It was kind of surprising.
We actually sparred together.
Yep, I saw that.
TMZ. It was fun.
So you're out in Texas? I mean, you live in Texas now?
I live in Texas. I'm in West Virginia right now. Mm-hmm. My mom passed about a week and a half ago, so I'm here with my dad and trying to help get things squared around and
sure.
You know,
your dad seems pretty awesome off of the documentary. You look pretty cool, dude.
Yeah, my dad will be 80 this year. Hey. Yeah, he's a good dude. He was an athlete. He played quarterback. So, okay. Yeah, any army guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you know? What he did in the service, if I could ask?
Oh, I don't.
He served, and it sucked. And I'm sure it was really fun, really crazy.
Time. Okay. Yeah.
Sure. Where in the state of West Virginia is your hometown? I have a twin brother, and he went to a farrier program in Waverly. My father shod horses for like 25 years, and that was one of the number top five schools in the nation for that. I didn't know if it was close to
your home. Might be in Virginia. I don't think that's in West Virginia.
It's the last exit before it turns into Ohio. So it's way up there. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in Southern Florida. I'm in Wyoming County, but we're close to Beckley, Princeton.
Okay. Gotcha.
You must be up there north of Morgantown.
Oh yeah, it was
WB.
Yeah, they don't have sweet tea in that part. And I'm like, stop.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So you've got Christy Martin Promotions. So you host fights and stuff too? You train fighters?
Absolutely. We've been promoting fights since 2015. We just got this huge deal. You guys are actually the ones I've been able to talk to about it. But July 18th. We'll be at Pechanga Casino in Temecula, California. So it's a huge deal. I'm excited. And then we're going to come back. We're going to El Paso, to a casino there, and do a show later in the year.
So congratulations.
With the promotion company.
Yeah.
When are you going to be back in Charlotte?
You know, I did a lot of shows in Charlotte. That's where I started. The place where I was doing shows, they tore the building down. Well, I don't know if they tore the building down, but it's now something else.
Right.
Yeah. You'll find a little, you know, hotel, maybe with a ballroom that seats 500 people.
Sure.
But I'll come back.
Yeah, there was, it's not the Blake Hotel anymore, but I did an MMA event in the Blake Hotel downtown. It was big enough.
Yeah. I really downtown to get to downtown Charlotte because of parking. It made it really hard.
Sure.
For promotions, but I also got used to that, so they know where they're going to park. But it was tough. I worked with some other promoters that worked downtown, and it was hard. Well, you know, number one right now, we need to talk about Tony Pitt, Guns and Hoses. Upstate New York. It's gonna be fun to be up there.
Yeah. So
this weekend.
So, dude, I'm gonna tell you now. You're gonna see it. And they got a lot going on up there with the corrections officers. Their governor just fired a whole bunch of them.
The strikes.
But those guys fight insanely harder than the rest of them.
Yeah.
I watched it last year when I participated too. But those correction officers, they can bang, dude. I'm telling you. And I think they got the trophy. So he went and picked it up. Johnny went and picked up the badge trophy. Whoever wins gets to keep the trophy. And I'm telling you, the correction officers, they can bang for sure.
We did the Guns and Hoses in Florida. We had the Florida guys up. It was in Northern Florida against NYC and NYCPD. And those guys up there are really good at partying.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
He's got some girl fights and stuff too. The girl fight last year, damn near was the fight of the night, I think.
A lot of pressure.
I think he's got officers fighting, is what he was saying. But yeah, and speaking of girl fights, the one during the Mike Tyson and
Jake Paul
fight was insane.
Easily, the best fight of the evening. Yep.
Right. They're getting ready to do the trilogy in Madison Square Garden in July. I think it's July 10th. So it'll be the third fight. Both fights have been controversial. The decision, it's been so close. Really, they could have probably both been draws.
Sure.
When was the last time you competed?
2011. After being shot and stabbed, I was still wanted to get win number 50, so I tried one more time, and it was a mistake. I had a stroke, and the doctor told me don't get hit in the head anymore. But I still was like, I got to get that last win. But it didn't work that way.
Well, I think kind of like you said, you definitely had your 50th win with everything you've done since. I mean, that is the truest thing. We all don't get that last bit, but you have just done so much, and I think that's probably just equally as important to the community around you, and it's awesome. Awesome.
Thank you. And I hope so that we're making a difference. We're trying. I'm trying and doing as much as I can with the kids. I think are the most important. Let's try to break the cycle with domestic violence. Mm-hmm. Let's try to show people that there's other ways out, not just from domestic violence, but drugs, guns, whatever. There's other ways.
Yeah, and like, I've told people, like, and I've talked to Johnny about it. I said boxing humbles you. Like, I've been in a couple of altercations outside of the ring, and knowing that I could beat this person up or whatever, it gave me, like, mentally, I was like, all right, well, we're gonna do this a different way and handle it, because it's not fair that I beat you up, you know? I don't get any cool points for beating you up. So, and I think that would help with kids too, you know what I mean? Like, it would put them in a better mental state.
So many times I have parents come to me after their child has been in the boxing gym for a month. They're like, I don't know what you're doing, but please keep doing it.
Yeah.
So they're going to school, they're yes ma'am, no mammy, but they're not fighting. Because you're just what you said. Once you know you can fight, you don't have to fight.
Right. You have to prove that.
I don't really have to.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a very humbling thing, and it builds character. I mean, it builds worth ethic. Like, cause you want to be able to hit faster and breathe longer, like all the other guys and gals, and gives you something to work for. Because I found out that I was a fighter because I played baseball and everything, and I was a pitcher, I was a catcher, you know, I did all that, and you were a catcher too.
Yeah.
But I liked the center of attention, you know, and then I kind of threw my arm out, and when I hit high school and they put me in the outfield, and I was like, this ain't for me. And I got in a scrimmage, I collided with my second baseman, and me and him got up and fist fought out there. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm not so much a team player. I'll tell you.
Okay. Yeah. I do. Yeah. We live in a small town. That'll come out. Well, and it's so funny too. And I can't miss the little bit of irony that a combat sport, physical violence, can be so healing and healthy, and it's just a matter of being exposed. Yeah. You know, really getting to know yourself. And I don't think a lot of people really do understand that. I wish more did.
And to understand how to channel the aggression.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Christy, there's a lot more to talk about. I'm going to let you get back to your dad, but I appreciate you coming and hanging on and dealing with this. I usually do my podcast in person, so this is all kind of new. And you know, but we'll figure it out. We're going to get together and do some more stuff too. I've been talking to Pat, and we'll get hooked up and do some other stuff. One more thing I was going to ask you, how did you get interested in doing podcasts?
I don't know. Everybody else is so.
Everybody
that's
else is
that's exactly what my answer is. I swear.
You know,
I had a theory. I was like, yeah, I went up to New York and I was exploring the area, but I just like talking. It's almost like therapy. You know, we put our phones down and we talk.
And it's a good way to get cool guests on and like pick their brain.
Sure.
Yeah,
so get speaking of
views on whatever the issue might be, you know, I think too much. Everybody gets so single-minded and they only want to listen to themselves. But if let's listen to everybody's opinion. Their thoughts, their ideas. You know, we might not like it, but we might take a little bit of it.
Yeah.
And combine it with what we think, and you never know.
We just did one with a bakery, right? And I'm thinking, it's a bakery. You know, we're going to talk about cakes and stuff. And then it got into, like, the most, like, this girl put her mind to something and then believed it, and then it just became
manifested
the most popular thing. It became a very pretty inspirational conversation we had, and it was just about cakes and then how she believed it, and friends and family believed it, and it happened. Now she's the most biggest popping thing downtown, and I don't know. It was not a waste of time. You know?
No, not at all.
You believe it, you can achieve it.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, one thing I have to ask before I get out of here. I know we're talking about picking people's brains. I'm a huge movie nerd. That's my therapy. That's my escapism. Fight Club is a fantastic movie. I have to ask you, if you could fight anybody, who would you fight?
Oh, wow. Fight Club question.
Oh,
alive or dead?
Yeah, I'll just call her up. Clarissa Shields. I mean, she's yak. I always talk.
Okay.
You know,
all right.
She's named herself the voice. Oh, come on, man. You get those kind of titles, names from someone else. You don't name yourself the voice.
Yeah.
Other people have to do that.
That works. That's a good one.
Dude, I want to tell you, I broke a bone off of my shoulder in a boxing match. And when I saw you break your hand, I couldn't watch the TV anymore. When it's injuries like that, when I'm watching football. And I'm not like one of those weird guys that can watch an emotional movie and get all sad and stuff. But when it comes to athletes getting injured, I'm just like, oh, I can't look at this. Like, it freaks me out. That was horrifying.
Yeah.
I feel like
but the bad thing was, the hand was broken two rounds before they started to talk.
I know. I was right.
And you can't let me go 50 seconds. I've been shot. Instead, let me a broken hand. Come on.
50 seconds. We'll let you get back to your dad. We'll talk
Thank
to
you
later. And,
absolutely.
Good luck this weekend. Have fun. All them folks in Watertown are awesome. I'm going to try to get on the commentary with the live stream, but we'll see.
All right.
It was really nice talking to you.
It was a treat.
I said, hey. Oh, and he told me to tell you, he said, hey, I talked to him this morning.
Well, for sure.
All right, see ya.
Thank you for joining us. Have a good one. You also.